Hey guys, and welcome to this week's episode of the Boston Hockey Pod. I am Judy Cohen with
Andrew Battaferrano
and Sarah Kirkpatrick.
Awesome. So, big weekend this weekend.
A little bit.
Yeah, we've got Yale and Quinnipiac. Yale's first on Friday, and then they go to unbeaten Quinnipiac on Saturday.
Huge. I think we all pointed to this weekend kind of pretty early in the season, even before the season is. A really big weekend. I don't think we predicted the time that Quinnipiac would still be undefeated that Yale would be this good. But
yeah, I think we kind of looked at it as a weekend. You know, it's right before finals week for the team and us too. And, you know, Yale coming in against BU, you know, we all saw what happened last year in the first round of the NCAAs. That was an exciting game. Yeah. And Quinnipiac's risen through the rankings pretty quickly this year. I don't think anybody expected them to be this high. I mean, they were, I don't remember what they were to start the season, but they were lower than BU. I think they were maybe like between 15 and 20, but I mean, they've been impressive. There's nothing, you can't say that they haven't been good. And
they've put together a good couple years recently.
Yeah.
For sure. And this is just kind of.
Those two teams have both put up.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, for sure.
Yale has just been so successful lately. And I mean, it's just, it's pretty interesting rivalry that they've kind of developed over the last couple of years, man.
Yeah.
Especially since what they're like 15 minutes apart. So it'll be an interesting bus trip down to Connecticut for Friday and Saturday.
And we all know how we're feeling about how big of a weekend this is, but we wanted to get the perspective of somebody on the other side. And we are here with David Weller from the Yale Daily News, obviously at Yale. We will be seeing him tomorrow night.
Yeah, absolutely. It should be a fun one after last season's NCAA tournament game. And thanks for having me.
I think the biggest question right off the bat for us is we heard Alex Lyon went down last weekend with an injury. Any update on him yet?
Not yet. Not that I know of, at least.
Okay.
The team is going to hold a media session tomorrow, and we should know more then. But until then, I can't give you a great answer on whether or not he's going to play.
All right. Just how big of a part of this team is he? Like, how much does their success rely on him?
I mean, he's huge to the team. He was the nation's leader last year in goals against average and save percentage. He's a big reason why the team came into this year, you know, thinking that they were legitimate national title contenders. His backup, Patrick Spano, is very solid as well. He had one rough 10-second stretch on Saturday night against Princeton where he let in two goals. Other than that, he only gave up one goal in the entire game after basically having not played for over a year.
Mm-hmm.
And in the last game that he did play, last November 2014, he had a shutout. So he's certainly not bad, but Lyon is truly one of the top goaltenders in the country, and not having him, especially against a top 15 team like Boston University, would be tough for the team.
I guess my next question then is, who are some of the biggest players we should be watching out for this weekend?
Yale actually returned all top six of its leading scorers from last season.
Mm-hmm.
The leading goal scorer from last year, Frankie Dechara, is a big part of their offense. One newcomer to keep an eye on is number seven, Joe Snively, who has four goals this year. Yale's top freshman last year had four goals all season. He's
bad.
Yeah, he's just from Virginia, of all places, which is not exactly a hockey hotbed, but he's a freshman, and he's very quick. He's a little bit small, relatively speaking, 5'9", but he's very quick and has fantastic hands, and he's definitely someone to keep an eye on.
Yeah, Frankie Dechara, I remember him last year. He actually played against one of my good friends in high school, but I was just curious. I was looking kind of the numbers, obviously haven't seen too much of Yale this year, at least like from video, but the scoring seems a bit down. Do you think that's just a product of it kind of being early in the season, or do you see that they're actually, you know, having some sort of major issues getting the puck to the back of the net?
Well, the total goal scoring numbers are down because Ivy League teams start play later than everyone else, just
right.
Goals. Right. The goals per game number are only down very slightly from last year. I think it's something like 2.6 last year versus 2.45 or something like that.
Yeah, it's not too much different.
So in recent games they've been having trouble finishing. They're it's not for lack of opportunities, it's not for lack of shots, but they're just really having trouble putting the puck in the back of the net. And it's hard to say exactly what the problem is, because they are getting the opportunities. They put up three against a number one ranked Providence team that's, you know, averaging 1.7 goals against per game or so.
Mm-hmm.
They ran into, you know, Michael Garte, Quinnipiac, who's had, geez, what is it now, three or four straight shutouts. Yeah. So they definitely scored more at the beginning of the year. They scored six goals against UMass in their second game of the season, and they haven't scored that many since. But right now, I think it's just more finishing and not so much lack of opportunities or lack of offensive, you know, ability.
Right, yeah, we've kind of seen that here at BU, where I think they got 51 shots on goal last game, but, you know, it's a problem with the finishing, and it's just interesting to hear that from the Yale perspective.
So I guess my main question is, you alluded to this earlier in the conversation, but just how, from your sense and how much time you spent with the team, how much do you think this team is looking at this as like a big weekend, a redemption weekend?
I think it's important in a couple different ways. The ranked teams they've played so far this year have been Harvard and Quinnipiac and Providence, and they haven't beaten a single one. They're 0-2-1 against them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think having another ranked team coming into New Haven and having a chance to, you know, get kind of that signature win in some ways would be really good for the team, especially because it's their last game before their Christmas break.
Mm-hmm.
Add to it that it's the team that, you know, knocked them out of the NCAA tournament.
We remember that game well.
right. And so I think this is a very big weekend for them, and if they could win this game, that'd be very, very big for them.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't help that they're, well, I guess it does help the importance of the game in some respects, that they're coming into Friday night on their first three-game losing streak since 2012, right? The team isn't really used to having these stretches of not getting points, and so they're going to come out playing very hard on Friday. I don't have a shout.
All right, awesome. Thanks so much for your time, David. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
For sure. All right.
Absolutely. We look forward to seeing you Friday.
Yep.
The thing that's pretty unfortunate about this weekend is BU is going to be without some of its biggest players. See, Matt Grislyk will still be out. He had a setback in practice Tuesday.
He's out. He didn't seem all that promising.
He's basically out. So he's out. Nick Olson will be out. Roberto's still out. Brandon Hickey will be up with Team Canada for selection camp for World Juniors. So
yeah, because for some reason Canada starts December 10th,
like a week earlier
when everyone else starts the 15th. But he's gone.
Yeah, Jacob Forsbacka Carlson will be here this weekend, which is good.
Yeah,
that would be really bad for BU.
He'll definitely be here for these two games.
So he'll be here, and all the other guys on the World Juniors teams will be here as well. But regardless, that's a pretty big chunk of your lineup gone.
Especially defensively.
Yeah. So
two of your best defensemen.
Yeah, probably your two best defensemen.
I would say so.
I mean, you could argue Doyle, but I mean,
well,
regardless.
Now he's your best one out there,
probably. Yeah, now he's your best one. But regardless, that's not what our main point of conversation is. But we asked Coach Quinn today, so does that mean you're going to be playing 5D and an extra forward, or are you going to bring in Shane Switzer and have 6D? I hope he plays Shane and plays a full 6D, because who else would be your extra forward at this point?
You could have Chase and Tommy and Robbie all in rotating.
But that's what they did last week, right? Isn't your extra forward Dylan Lawrence at this point?
What?
I guess it just depends on what kind of system he wants to roll with. Like, I don't know if I agree with the five defensemen. Maybe if he feels that much confidence in his offense or in his defense playing with five. But I think with five defensemen, you kind of get tired. You get more shifts out there. And by the end of the third period, you know, they're conditioned pretty well, but I mean, you know, you're playing with one less guy the entire game. I think I think that has an effect on you by the time you're in the third period.
Well, another option is having the 5D and then having Switzer play as the extra forward.
Yeah,
I mean, Quinn doesn't want to have him do defensive responsibilities.
But at that point, why not just put him at defense and then have...
Because you might like his offensive ability more than his back-checking and defensive zone coverage.
That's true.
But I get... I don't know. I just, if he's listed as both, I feel like he has to have some sort of confidence in his defense. But I don't, we've only seen him very sparingly.
Yeah.
Not much.
I mean, we have seen him only sparingly. And I think, like, if this is a very, I think this is a prime opportunity for him to get a chance to play. I think it'd be a shame if he didn't play. I mean, when we asked, like, is that going to be five defensemen for you then? And he said, well, we've done it before. I was kind of surprised by that, honestly, that he, because I don't think Shane is a bad by any stretch of the imagination.
It's just, I don't know. I mean, I guess it's, Coach Quinn sees stuff in practice and during warmups and stuff that we don't get to see. And, you know, we do cover the game, but they see it a little bit more analytically, a little bit closer than we do. So it's really hard to say what strategy they think works best with the guys that they have available.
And yeah. You did say they hadn't decided yet.
Yeah.
So there is still a chance that he plays as a 6D man. Yeah.
And it is still early in the week. It's only Wednesday right now. So things could change tomorrow on Thursday. So we don't know.
But I think, I mean, just to talk a little bit more about Shane, I think he did come in kind of a tough spot with the six returning defensemen and Charlie McAvoy being Charlie McAvoy.
It's a pretty good player.
Yeah, pretty good player. Pretty good. Obviously has a lot of those expectations surrounding him. So Shane kind of is in a tough spot, and I think he's not all necessarily that bad of a player. He just kind of got put in a bad spot because of that. I think it's a mistake. If he ends up not playing this weekend, I'd be surprised if he doesn't play this weekend.
I think he should dress at least.
Yeah, he should definitely dress, even if he only gets a few shifts out there. Like, I think at this point it's what, Shane or Dylan Lawrence, and
I don't think there's any harm in having him as an own body on the bench.
Absolutely not.
I'd be interested to see if they don't bring Prodzik on the trip and they carry two goalies and dress two instead of three and then carry, like, you know, Shane and whoever else. But I'm interested because I know on some road games they would.
No.
I'm just curious because, you know, you rarely have to go to that third goaltender, but, you know, you never know.
But they always have the third goalie on the roster. Like, Moshe was always on the roster.
Not always on the roster. He wouldn't travel.
Sometimes on the roster, but he wouldn't be dressed.
Sometimes he wouldn't be.
Line charts, but he wouldn't be dressed. Sometimes
he wouldn't be there in the on the bench during road games.
But regardless, I think I'm hoping to see Shane out there this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I think he adds a little bit. Depth. He looked pretty good. I mean, he scored one of the games we covered earlier in the year, and he looked pretty quick out there. So, be interested to see what he can bring to the table.
All right, and now for some questions from you guys. Andrew wanted to know, not our Andrew,
not
different Andrew.
Wasn't
Andrew.
Me. Andrew wasn't me.
Commenting his own questions. but different Andrew wanted to know, after Belargion was moved down to the fourth line and then was a healthy scratch in the first game against Vermont, do you know what his stats will be going forward?
I mean, I would assume he's playing this weekend. Coach Quinn kind of was mum about what sort of changes he'd be making to the lineup as it goes forward, but I wouldn't see why he's not playing.
Yeah,
they need him. Nick's out.
Especially this weekend, they need him. I think just benching him a game was more of a just day off to kind of reconsider everything, kind of get mentally back in focus. It was a healthy scratch. No reason for concern for injury or anything. So this weekend, definitely yes. Going forward, probably yes.
He's in the lineup. I don't see why not.
And whether, I think it's, we'll have to see how the other guys play in terms of whether Robbie's position going forward is on the third line, fourth line, center. It just depends a lot on the other guys, but Robbie will almost definitely be in the lineup going forward. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's any reason to worry there. And then Glenn wanted to know, with regard to Nick Olson, is there anything our strength and conditioning coaches can do in conjunction with the medical staff to make his shoulder less susceptible to injury? I know he plays an extremely physical game, but this injury seems like a recurring problem for him. He makes such a difference when he's healthy. I want to see him back soon and for good.
We agree with that part.
Yeah, we definitely agree with that part.
And he definitely does make a difference when he's out there.
Yeah, I'll start off by saying that we can't know for sure too many of the details in terms of his medical recovery, just because of HIPAA laws and everything. We can't dig too deep on there in terms of what the medical staff is doing, because that's a private conversation between the coaches and Nick and the medical staff.
Right.
What I will say, I'm not a Division I athlete, but from my personal experience with injuries, sometimes you just have a problem area, and no matter how much physical therapy you go through, sometimes that'll just be what keeps getting hurt. It was my foot and my ankle for me. Like, it's sometimes you just have one bad part of your body. Everybody jokes about their bad knee, their bad hip, whatever. I think Nick is just one of those guys who has a bad shoulder, and I think that has absolutely nothing to do with the strength and conditioning coach about, or anything in that regard.
Yeah, when I talked to Sean Scahan in September, October, I wrote a story on him. He was saying that his job is to do whatever he can to prevent injuries from happening. So they'll, like, work on certain areas of the body to for different positions to make sure that they don't get hurt as much as they could. And I'm sure he's doing that well. I think it's just the way Nick is
these
getting
injuries
hurt
are happening,
and
yeah.
Yeah, and like how Grizz got hurt too.
Crashing the boards.
Right.
That's not Sean's fault.
Right. He can't really make them not susceptible to crashing into the boards.
Yeah, and I think with Nick Olson, like, his injury was he checked a guy, like,
yeah,
directly with his bad shoulder,
yeah,
and then like,
checked
him, like, another guy, but while he was, like, stumbling to the bench. So I think maybe,
which made sense.
Not to be, like, too mean, like, he could be more not selective, kind of in the moment, it's hard to be selective,
yeah,
how you're
no,
checking
for
a
sure.
person, but I mean, I think maybe just more awareness, but that's really the only thing. I think
yeah,
he needs to be healthy
yeah,
for this team to succeed. I think he is a really important part of this team. I think they have a lot more depth.
He
more
is.
Strength.
That third line looked completely different
looked
with him
so
out
good.
There on the wing.
They looked, yeah, and they weren't as great the next game. Like,
no, without him.
The first
yeah.
period, and it's really a shame.
It is. Yeah.
It's
that,
a shame.
It was really nice to see them click like that, and
mm-hmm.
it was so unfortunate
mm-hmm.
when Nick, like, came off clutching his arm.
Yeah, that was really.
We were like,
kind of
no.
like, okay, that's not good. And then
not
we
again.
Saw him in the stance,
and then
he
was
in the suit
stance,
with
the
sling.
Yeah,
and
with
the
sling.
Like,
like, that's it.
That's not good. So we don't know anything at this point in terms of a timetable. With the break, it's kind of hard to be like, he'll
right.
be back after the break.
Right.
Like, they won't, they'll be gone.
They have to assess
not working
him
out. They'll be working out, but not with the team. So they'll be having a rest, and they'll assess him when he gets back, I'm sure. But in terms of anything strength and conditioning staff can do, I'm sure they're doing everything they can.
Oh, definitely.
But, I mean,
that's an NHL caliber.
That's
like
an NHL caliber.
Coach.
Yeah,
like
he's been getting
for
a lot of
a very good Anaheim Ducks team.
Yeah,
like,
I think he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, me
I think
too.
There have been a lot of comments that are like, are they like down in their conditioning because of
no.
Sean? And that's definitely that's one I can guarantee.
I think it's just a string of bad luck injuries.
Yeah, I think you got pretty lucky last year. The fact that they weren't hit with the injury
mm-hmm.
bug at
yeah.
all. I was kind of like we held our breath all of last season.
Yeah.
Like Brandon Hickey took that one huge hit and was down on the ice, and then he was back on the ice. Like we didn't even have to work.
No.
Really bad, and he was still fine. And so I think BU fans in general were pretty spoiled just by how healthy the team was last year that I think this is a bit of a shock to most people.
Right.
Yeah, I almost forget how healthy they were, and like you compare it to this year, it's like, oh my god, they have a rash of injuries. Like, no,
it's
like it's
honestly not, I feel like it's not as big.
It just seems bad because, you know, they've all kind of happened, seemed pretty close, and now it's
yeah.
kind of become a problem this week with the depth. But I think overall, the last year plus, they've been pretty lucky for the most part. But
yeah.
just right now, it's a little tough just happening all pretty close to each other.
Mm-hmm. So, and then one more question from guest is, they want to talk about the kind of switches on the first two lines
mm-hmm.
With AJ Greer going up to the first line with Danny and Jacob, and then Ati back down to the second line with Lane and Greenway. This guest personally thought that those lines looked good, and they wanted our thoughts on that.
I agree. They looked really good, and I will be the first to admit I was very wrong.
Me too. I will eat my words. I thought that second line was not going to do anything.
Right.
And the first line, I was like, there's no way.
I actually really liked Greer moving up to the first line because he started picking up his game. He scored at Rat Out Hockey. He'd been taking a lot more shots toward the net than he had been earlier in the year. But, you know, that second line, I just really wasn't feeling it. It looked a lot like the first line did at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
With I thought Adi and Greenway just was a, I don't know, they just, just the mix of their
it's
play.
Heavy. It's heavy.
It's a very, they're not much, not really a speed game there.
Large.
Just
yeah.
just kind of.
With like Matt in the
with
middle.
With tiny little Matt.
Right.
Yeah.
So I just, for some reason, like, this isn't going to work. And I think a lot of that has to do with the way Jordan Greenway's played. I think he's really
definitely.
Stepped up. I don't think Adi's played any differently. I think it's really a lot to do with how well Jordan has played over the last couple weeks.
Yeah. And I mean, it's, again, one game. So they could, if Coach Quinn decides to roll with that again this weekend, then it could crash and burn. I will say, just to be more on the devil's advocate side, I was more wowed with just as a comparison of, like, the one game being wowed by a line, I was more wowed in the Cornell game by the remixed third line than I was by the first line in the last game with J.J. Greer, if that makes sense.
Maybe because they scored a couple times, and it's just the way they played in the third period.
They just seemed more, that line seemed more fluid, and I think I'm not completely sold yet on A.J. Greer in the first line. And
it's only been one game, so.
I think Lane just had such a good game, too. I don't know if that...
He stepped up.
He really stepped up.
I just think having A.J. on that first line, there's, like, I mean... Obviously, they're not going to say that you play differently on different lines, but there is a different sort of role that goes with that first line. Like, obviously, you still have to be physical, but there is more, like, anticipation of skill and hands and scoring.
Right, because you have, generally, I mean, your first line's going to have more talent and more playmaking ability than your third or fourth line would, so he maybe doesn't have to do as much work to create his own opportunities. He has Jacob Forsbeck and Carlson, you know, cutting through the defense and setting up a play for him.
Right.
Which is nice.
Yeah,
must be nice for him.
We'll see if he's at the top line this weekend.
All right, and that's it for this week, I think. It's our last podcast for a while, guys. Yeah. We're going to be headed home for the holidays soon. We'll be still posting content over the break. Obviously, we'll be there this weekend down at Connecticut. All three of us will be there, so be sure to follow our live blog at hockey.dailyfreepress.com. We look forward to hearing what you guys have to say about this weekend and anything else video hockey related. A whole lot to talk about this weekend, I'm sure. Should be good. So happy holidays, guys, and thanks as always for reading and for listening.